we present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a TV listing from the Sky Travel Channel, read by Neil Sleet.
Floyd on Italy. Today, Floyd goes fishing for squid, cooks wild boar, and learns how to make cheese from a farmer's wife.
And our thanks to Jeff Ingram for sending that in. Now, let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Andrew Maxwell and Miles Jupp. And opposite them on my left, Katie Brand and Jeremy Hardy. Katie, why, if you want to know the time, should you ask a member of Greenpeace?
So this is about undercover policemen.
Yes.
The dominant story about this has been about the Lawrence family, hasn't it? About how they have discovered in the past week that at the time of their son's murder, there was part of the police force who were undercover and trying to, in their words, get dirt on people who were either supporting the family or even members of the family, so that they could then sell that to the press. No, that I've made that up.
But you know what? There's not a single person in the room who didn't think, oh, that could happen.
Yeah. possibly they were attempting to get it in the papers so that they could smear people, but there seems to have been a smear campaign against the Lawrence family by members of an undercover police force, and that has then been extrapolated out to lots of different groups and found that there are undercover police forces in pretty much everywhere.
But statistically speaking, Katie, that means this panel has probably been infiltrated.
Yeah.
Miles.
It's always the one you least expect.
Yeah. Is it?
My anarchist friends in Leeds, sort of looking back, people laughed. It's ridiculous. Imagine that there is such a thing called anarchists or even a place called Leeds. But my anarchist friends in Leeds said that with hindsight, you could tell the coppers because they all looked like Wolfie Smith. They all looked a bit too radical, and you went round their house and there were too many posters and they never said anything that wasn't in any way related to struggle.
Apparently, as far as I can tell from reading all the reports about this, it's the man who is sleeping with the most women in the group. Is that...
I knew
that
Peter right? Stringfellow wasn't really a Trotskyist.
I do love the tabloids' attitude to all this, because if you look at it, we've got an immoral police force, we've got corporations who don't pay their tax, we've got the government spying on our emails and phone calls, but never mind, because Andy Murray might win a game of tennis. Yay!
That's it, up on Murray Mount. There they are, all on Murray Mount. Does it just sound like a Presbyterian sexual position? That's it. It's OK, Margaret. Lie down there while I perform the Murray Mount.
Maybe Andy Murray, like you say, he is the undercover policeman of
Wimbledon. That's why he's so do it.
He's got big feet. I reckon he's a copper. I reckon Prince Andrew is definitely the undercover cop in the royal family. Doesn't he look like a copper? He looks nothing like the rest of them. He looks like a copper. He's thick set. You know that he wears a sheepskin jacket when he's on his own.
They're having big cuts, though, the police force, because in the new spending review. They're having a cut of something like 260 million or something, which basically the one way to do that would be to get rid of 9,000 policemen. Or the guy said, unless we can find, you know, another way to save money. And so presumably one way of doing that would be to have fewer undercover operatives staking out vegetarian cafes and things like that. And then...
Well, what are they monitoring? They're monitoring domestic extremists, which I like. It sounds like me with a feather duster. I think it's a...
It must be very hard these days just being undercover. Back in the day, you used to be able to hide behind a newspaper.
Yeah.
Now it's not the same lowering your Kindle.
If you cut two eye holes out of your iPad, it ruins it.
There has been uproar following the revelations that undercover police have been infiltrating political groups, including those set up to expose police corruption. One member of the police was regularly involved in campaigns with environmentalists, all the while watching every step they take, every move they make. It was a sting operation. Met Police Commissioner Bernard Hogan Howe said he was shocked to discover he was Commissioner for Police, as he'd spent the last 20 years trying to save the whale. Andrew, who insists we're all in this together for the third year running?
Santa Claus.
2 points.
Thank you. No, the opposite of Santa Claus. The Grim Reaper of the budget. The Chancellor of the Exchequer.
Yes.
It's the latest spending review, what they're going to spend money on. And they've decided to, show those pensioners a thing or two. They've been getting away with it too long. I fought the Nazis. Take.
Did you see that Jeremy Paxman, when he was talking about it, he said that Osborne showed confidence. Did he sound confident, did you think?
No, I think under that hubris is a certain self-hatred. He said that the richest need to carry the greatest burden, and they do, because wealth is a burden. You know, you could see that in his eyes when he was delivering the speech. You know, he's distracted. He's thinking, how are my shares doing? Has the gamekeeper remembered to set the man traps?
The other thing, it's not just pensioners, is it? He's got this new idea about how immigrants have to demonstrate that they want to learn English in order to get their benefits. And if they don't demonstrate it, then they will have their benefits cut. But he seems to have conveniently forgotten that he actually cut funding for English for Speakers of Other Languages classes in 2011. But luckily for him, none of the people he's targeting can speak English, so they won't be able to complain.
There was a very good tweet from Tory MP Andrew Sellis, and he tweeted about the basic grasp of English. He was agreeing with it, and he wrote, "Strongly support the loss of benefits unless claimants lean English."
Are you sure that's a mistake? He might have just meant that.
Well, he may work for The Guardian, what do I know? But that whole speaking English is overrated. I mean, I don't speak it very well, and I've fully integrated, I think.
I don't see what the problem is. You just think in English and then start speaking. Right? Look at how they love it. That's exactly how English people see the world. We are quite right.
But some of the cuts are extraordinary. In our local area, the library has been merged with the hospital. And you can't get a kidney transplant now, but you can borrow one for 3 weeks, which is...
Ed Balls is flipping useless, though. Standing up and blustering and basically saying, we'll accept these cuts. Why? And because there's this unchallenged narrative, and all the BBC News people, all the commentators, they say, there is this deficit, it is a reality, it has to be dealt with. We don't have to pay it back, that money. We can just say, you know what? We lost it. It's gone. You know, I know you lent me your garden shears. I don't know where they are. Money is imaginary anyway. Money is all made up. Most money is electronic. The quantitative easing isn't the sort of laxity they make it sound. It's just inventing money.
I think my theory is our main problem is we've got multimillionaires in the cabinet who have never been in debt. So they don't know that it's actually fine. If they put me in charge that's been living with debt personally since I was 18, I'd just be like, as long as you make the minimum payments, it's fine.
This week, George Osborne proposed a further £11 billion worth of cuts to public services and government departments in a bid to reduce the national deficit with his spending review for 20... Oh, I love a review, don't you? The costumes, the feathered hairdressers. Osborne unveiled his spending review live from his underground bunker beneath a volcano. Sadly, his cat was unable to attend as it had been privatised. For Labour, Ed Balls accused the Chancellor of being out of touch. Ed Miliband was on a Dungeons and Dragons away day. 2 points to Andrew. Miles, which whistleblower's whistle-stop tour has been grounded?
Oh, this has been very exciting.
It has.
Snowden, is that his name?
Yes.
He went to Hong Kong and the Americans said, whatever you do, don't let him leave. And they said, pardon? And let go of him. And he ran off and he went to Moscow and then they thought, right, he's going to go to Cuba. And he booked a flight to Cuba, and then he wasn't on the seat. There was an empty seat because I don't know if he was sort of gave them the slip or he was, got distracted in the sunglass hut or something like that in the terminal. Anyway, he didn't make the flight, and everyone said, "Where is he?" And he's been hiding out in a very exciting. What he's done, which I'm quite grateful to him for, he's sort of got the Cold War going again. Because we had the Cold War, and everyone said, we've got to get rid of the Cold War. The Cold War isn't much fun. So they stopped the Cold War. And then we've had the War on Terror, which has been terrifying, actually. And I think people are thinking, maybe we should go back to the Cold War. Because that was sort of better. That was sort of old men taking off their glasses and rubbing their eyes. And I think that's pleasant, artistically speaking.
I didn't fully understand all of it. According to Snowden, GCHQ runs an operation called Tempura, which stores all of the UK's internet traffic for 30 days in, I don't know, in a light and crispy batter. I don't know how it works.
Everything. Absolutely everything is stored.
Yeah.
The lot. I met an internet security expert, and I asked him, well, what can you do to make your computer more safe? And he went, have you got any BlueTack in your house? Because every time you log onto your computer, turn it on and go online, you take the BlueTack and you stick it over the camera that's built into your laptop.
No.
Yeah. And hackers can just open up your machine, turn it on, record all your keystrokes, and then take screen grab pictures of you. So all over the world, there's somewhere stored, there's lots of pictures of our love faces. Like a rogues gallery.
According to Haig, all of those have to be personally authorised by me. And he thought, no.
But also, do you know what? Half of that must just be passwords we've all had to store. I mean, honestly, I've tried. Have you not? And then somebody will say, you have to change your password. You think, no, I can't remember one more. No. I really, I can't. I'll go mad if I have to remember Mnemonics. One more comment. Must have a capital letter and several combinations of physics equations. And...
The good thing is... You know, if you watch Spooks, it's all home in on the thoughts of everybody in Milton Keynes and then enlarge them to the size of a bus. They can't do any of that. They only catch somebody when they raid someone's house because the neighbours dobbed them in for benefit fraud and they search their shed and find a surface-to-air missile. That's the only way anyone ever gets caught.
I'm always amazed that they're worried about the legal aspects of this. I mean, GCHQ are sort of leaping in to say, oh, we're not breaking any laws, but I sort of think it's all right for spies to break the law. I mean, I just assume that's what they were already doing. I mean, you watch Spooks or James Bond or whatever, you think, well, the main thing is he's sticking to the highway code, etc.
He is licensed to kill, so it's sort of like having a driving license, I imagine, or a dog license. And he would be well aware of all the terms and conditions of his license to kill and has special... to be renewed. And they do a theory test, of course. Yeah.
The spy driving test, don't they? They do the spy driving test where you drive down a very narrow cobbled Mediterranean street and knock over some vegetables and fruit. The vendor shakes his fist in a way that only fruit vendors at passing spies ever do to express anger.
Assange, living in an embassy must be really great, I imagine.
Why?
Working in an embassy?
No, not working one. Working anywhere is very tedious. But just living in an embassy, presumably being brought three hot meals a day.
No, I think it is interesting. I think you would tire of the Ferrero Rocher after a while.
I think endless ambassadorial sort of functions and stuff. One day they're going to knock on the door and go, great news, Julian, we've sorted you out a flight to Ecuador. And he's going, well, I'm just having another dinner suit measured. I can't go to Ecuador.
US whistleblower Edward Snowden, currently living in a Moscow airport, may remain there for several months while he awaits the outcome of his application for asylum in Ecuador. He's currently based in Sheremetyevo's transit hall in Moscow airport. A fact only discovered when he became the only person to leave feedback about the waiting room's sleep quality and breakfast limitations on TripAdvisor. 2 points to Miles. Jeremy, why does every little help unless you're a doctor?
The BMA have taken umbrage at a comment by, is it Sir Bruce Keogh, who's chair of NHS England or something, because he said the NHS should be more like Tesco's, because Tesco's is available all the time. 24/7, 8 days a week. And you think, well, operations are open. Hospitals are rammed in the middle of the night. If you go to an all-night Tesco's at 4 a.m, there'll be one desultory weirdo shoplifting. If you go to St Thomas's at 4 a.m, it's absolutely heaving. It's like an embassy during a movie about Vietnam or something. It's rammed. Full of people who've got their head stuck in a wheelie bin or slipped on their own sick or done something unspeakable with a vacuum cleaner. It's absolutely heaving. You know, the NHS deals with stuff like that 24 hours a day. Tesco's don't. If you go into a hospital in the middle of the night, you will find somebody with an unexpected item in their bagging area, I'm telling you.
Idea though of a hospital sort of being laid out more like a supermarket, you know, like when they put all the sort of frivolous things next to the checkout. So you might go in to sort of have your appendix out, but on your way out you might pick up a boob job or something.
I think it'd be quite nice if a hospital smelled of fresh baked bread.
That's nice.
I'd quite like it if all supermarkets smelt like trauma wards. It's horses for courses, isn't it? It really is.
At the British Medical Association's annual conference this week, doctors voted against government plans for more NHS services to be available at the weekends and in the evenings. Leading doctors claimed Health Secretary Jeremy Hunt was trying to turn the NHS into Tesco's... It's not good, is it? An Ocado NHS. That'd be very nice. Shockingly, the BMA also passed a vote of no confidence in the Health Secretary. This is only the 485th time they have done so. The consultant who called for the no-confidence motion in Jeremy Hunt said he spent his time alarming patients, demoralising staff and denigrating the service, which, as everyone knows, is the receptionist's job. 2 points for Jeremy. At the end of round one, the scores are Andrew and Miles have got 4 points, but so too have Katie and Jeremy. We start round two with a cutting from the Harborough District Council website.
Come to our Love Your Market event with live appearance by Peppa Pig, followed by Hog Roast.
Our thanks to Tom Day for sending us that. Andrew, who's been convicted of a bunga bungle?
The story would be about none other than Silvio Berlusconi. He's a huge, huge hero to me. He has his own private artificial volcano. How many other sex offenders have that?
Am I the only one with a slight crush on Silvio Berlusconi?
That's why he has to pay for it most of the time. Yeah.
But the girl involved, the girl who he's been found guilty of having sex with, Ruby the Heart Stealer, she has repeatedly denied that she had sex with him. You think, what? How could she? Maybe it was dark. She couldn't smell the mothballs. I don't know what happened. But,
yeah. It's horrible. Just a sound in the darkness. You wonder, Silvio, where are you? And all you can hear is just the sound of a Werther's original being sucked. Over here, my darling. I don't know, he's Mexican. Over here. Follow the sound of a Vicks jar being opened.
I can't believe
she wouldn't be a prostitute. She'd have to be a faith healer.
When there's a wet patch to start with, it's a bit demoralising, isn't it?
I'm glad you feel able to share, Jeremy.
I'm definitely rethinking my crush now.
When it comes to Italian politics, there's only one rule. Vote clown.
Yeah, he did very well, didn't he?
Beppe Grillo, right, is a fantastic Italian comedian. He ends up getting a third of all the seats. He just went from town to town, piazza to piazza, basically performing live to giant crowds of people.
The whole crowd come out of one little car?
That's Italian families for you.
I've just got this horrifying image now for this country that Mrs. Brown is going to basically be the next Prime Minister. Because that's broadly what it is, isn't it? Doesn't Mrs. Brown go around doing these incredible, massive tours all around Britain?
What, Gordon's wife?
No.
The former Italian Prime Minister, media mogul and now confirmed lech, Silvio Berlusconi, has been sentenced to 7 years in prison after being convicted of having sex with an underage prostitute and of abusing his office. Interesting euphemism. 76-year-old Berlusconi is currently dating a 27-year-old, although friends don't think it will last as the age gap is too small. Bizarrely, he's still hugely popular and tipped to be the next Prime Minister, so, Ed Miliband, you know what you've got to do. 2 points to Andrew. Miles, have a listen to this. I still stand. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I still stand. Yeah. Miles, who stood up to patriarchy this week?
This is a quite remarkable person, actually. This is in Texas.
Yeah.
There's an extraordinary thing, which is that she did a filibuster. Mm. They were going to pass a law, they were going to close down most of the abortion clinics in Austin, and she...
The whole of Texas.
And she stood there in trading shoes for tenor, because you're not allowed to... the rules are you're not allowed to go off topic. You have to stand up, not like our sort of politicians who stand up and say something and then sit down again. You have to stand up for the whole time. You're not allowed to lean on anything. You're not allowed loo breaks. And she did this remarkable thing of speaking for over 10 hours.
Yeah, it was almost 11 hours. Like a recording of the Now Show.
Which is, I mean...
an entertaining version of Just a Minute.
It's extraordinary, the Texas Senate, actually. It's absolutely true. A few years ago, they had a vote in the Texas Senate as to whether or not they should introduce foreign language classes into high schools in Texas. And a Texas senator stood up and he said, "I don't believe that this is necessary. If English was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me." Wendy Davis, a Texas state senator, spoke for almost 11 hours without interruption to filibuster anti-abortion proposals introduced by Republicans. Davis was raised by a single mother and by 19 was a single mother herself, raising her daughters in a trailer park before putting herself through college and going to Harvard Law School. Can I say this is not a setup for a joke? It's just going to win Julia Roberts an Oscar. That's all it's about. At the end of round two, the scores are Andrew and Miles have got 8 points, but so too have Katie and Jeremy. Before we start round three, here is a cutting from the June newsletter of the Heptonstall Methodist Church.
This evening at 7 p.m, there will be a hymn recital in the park. Bring a blanket and come prepared to sin.
Thanks to Chris Cavey for sending us that. Andrew, whose hopes of staying in this country are sinking fast?
Oh, this is the Australian who sabotaged a boat race. Oh, Trenton Oldfield, a man who has two surnames for first names, wanted to strike a blow against elitism. I think they're going to boot him out.
Yeah.
Oh, great, isn't it? I mean, Australians are the last people you can throw out of the country without any guilt. You can boot them out. They're white, so it's not racist. You know, and it's not like they're going back to Australia to be tortured or anything. Oh, we should boot them all out. Every couple of years, we should take all the Aussies over here, kick them out and get some fresh ones.
And they said his presence in the country is not conducive to the public good. Hand on heart, how many of us can say that our presence in the country is conducive to the public good?
Do you not think Theresa May must be kicking herself if she just pushed Abacatada in during the boat race?
I just wish that it, instead of some other toff, I wish it just been a couple of geezers who just come out of a pub, fat geezer called Jason and his cousin Dave, and they come out and they're absolutely ruined and a boat race is going by and they're like, "Oi, oi, let's have it!" And they just taken off their white Reebok Classic and jumped in. No reason, no message, "I'm smashing the elitist system." None of that stuff, just, "Oi, oi, let's have it!"
Trenton Oldfield, who was convicted of causing a public nuisance after swimming in front of the 2012 boat race to protest against elitism, is facing deportation back to his native Australia. After 10 years of living in the UK, Oldfield says he can't return to Australia as he fears all the sunshine will make him too cheerful to carry on protesting. 2 points to Andrew. Jeremy, where are doctors saying stop taking the tablets, laptops and mobiles?
Apparently, using IT damages your right brain development because you've got two brains. People think you've got one brain, but you haven't. You've got a right brain and left brain. One is for maths and the other's for geography. people who spend too long on computers and things like that, they just want everything instant and fast, and it's all iPods and it's all everything, and they can't concentrate. They can't sit and listen to a record. They can't read a newspaper. It's all that someone has to tweet them a link to something, and then they read it really quickly and forget about it and move on to the next thing.
Also, but you can have three or four things going at once, can't you?
Yeah. People are watching TV while reading a book
and microwaving a locust. People are not in the habit of having to remember things. And I can't remember. I used to remember phone numbers. I can't remember them at all. I mean, to be fair, that's what my butler's for. I don't know what.
But it's a bit disingenuous, this test for digital dementia, I think it's called, because you can't...
Digital dementia?
Yes, you can't just test...
Sounds like you forgot where you put your finger.
Again, I think that was Silvio Berlusconi's defence.
I know exactly where the finger went. Back into my Werther's original bag. Can you find me? I'm on the bed.
It's a bit disingenuous to use the test of can you remember your mobile phone number, because no one needs to remember their mobile phone number because your mobile phone remembers it for you.
Yeah, but what if you lose your phone and you need to go to a call box? You know,
a what?
Let's say... I remember when the phone was put on in our house. You see, phones were marvellous in those days. They were attached to your house. You didn't have to take them anywhere. Now, people, you know, were just getting used to phones then. You'd answer the phone and say, England, 4.
They were always in the hall.
Yes.
Nobody actually had
on the telephone table.
Yes.
And there would be a notepad. Yes. No, yep. I'll take a message for him. He doesn't live here and I've never heard of him. No. No, it's the only phone in the county, but if I run into him, I shall be sure to give him your message.
Doctors in South Korea are concerned about the rise of digital dementia amongst people who overuse computers and smartphones. Heavy users overdevelop the left-hand side of the brain, leaving the right-hand side underdeveloped, which makes hat buying enormously tricky. 2 points to Jeremy. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along, Mr. Maxwell.
Up to 300 new jobs at Meat Factory. Huge boost after 300 were axed at Abattoir.
Mr. Jupp.
This has been sent in by Ray Crispin. This is from a What's On guide in the Greenwich area. Join curator Jessica Lewis for a tour of Cutty Sark. Originally designed to last just 30 years, she's nearly 5 times that age. Come and discover the secrets of her success and learn about the recent conservation project to preserve her for future generations.
Ms. Brand.
This was sent in by Stuart Jeffries. It's a segment of a review of a fan-assisted oven. There are 67 litres of space in the main oven and 35 litres in the smaller cavity, so there's plenty of room for a family.
Mr. Harding.
This was sent in by Andy Powell, Sandra, and it's a comment from Bradley Wiggins on the BBC Sport website. I descended like a bit of a girl after the crash, he told Cycling Weekly. Not to disrespect girls, I have one at home. That's life, and we just have to push on and deal with the disappointments.
Let's take a look at the final score. Katie and Jeremy have got 12 points, but this week's winners are Andrew and Miles with 13. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from the Limerick Leader sent to us by Neil Robinson.
A West Limerick cemetery, which is due to be enlarged, has been described as a death trap. By a local county councillor.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Andrew Maxwell, Miles Jupp, Katie Brand and Jeremy Hardy. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news was read by me, Neil Sleeves. The chair's script was written by Lucy Clark, Simon Littlefield and Roderick Crooks, with additional material by Jess Foster-Pugh and James Bugg. The producer was Sam Michel.
This episode of the news quiz is dedicated to the memory of Rory Morrison.